Hey Tony, this is the Mean Green Nation podcast, episode 6, after like 2 months of a layoff. It's like our off season, but we pop back up, and we got some things to talk about, so let's just jump right in. You wanted to talk some football, so let's talk some football, man.
Yeah, let's talk some football. Sunbelt Media Day came up last week. Dan McCarney and Zach Orr headed out to New Orleans and chatted it up a little bit. And it was on ESPN3, if anybody saw it. They had some nice 1970s retro ESPN sets or something that they were rocking. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. Anyways, Coach McCarney was talking about the fact that one of our main wide receiver recruits for this year, Roderick Lancaster, is actually going to be out for the season. And I just really disappointed on it because I thought this kid was going to be, you know, somebody that was going to really help solidify that wide receiver core for this year. He's a freshman, so you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. You don't know how he's going to do performing and stepping up into Division One, but, you know, he ran a 4.240, if I read this right. Or 4.440, I'm sorry. 4.440, and he's 6'2", so he's a real tall guy. We don't have many tall receivers on this team. And the fact that he also chose us over SMU was, you know, awesome. And I was just hoping, you know, I had a lot of expectations from this kid, I guess. I really thought he would be, you know, a third receiver in there, probably behind Chancellor and Delgado. And I thought he would just be a really good compliment to those two guys. And I was expecting quite a bit out of him and, you know, just disappointed the fact that he hurt his knee and he's going to be out for the entire season.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that happen the off season. That's why I don't like really making plans off of, you know, a summer roster sheet, because you really do never know. I mean, not only do we have like the rest of summer and whatever, we got like fall camps coming up. 2 days are starting soon, and then the season starts also. This is the real benefit of like having a deep team, having a, you know, a big time program where you can get a lot of good guys. Because when you're just relying on one or two game changer kind of dudes like this guy, Roderick Lancaster, he's good, but he's not. I mean, like, he's a freshman guy coming in, and we're not necessarily relying on him, but you kind of see what I'm saying here. I'm stumbling over my words and whatever, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't know how this guy's going to step up. I don't believe he went to a real big school in Houston, or in Dallas. I don't know where Life School is in Oak Cliff, but
Life School, Oak Cliff.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a 5A school or anything like that. So you never know how he's going to step up. But I guess I just look at it as, hey, this is a 6'2 guy, so he's really tall. Runs a 4.440. He's got a 30-inch vertical. Big dude, can run and catch. And, you know, I always think that we need help at wide receiver. I think it was one of our weaker spots last year, though our receivers really played well towards the end of the season last year. But I was hoping that he would be able to come in and compliment and just kind of, you know, just disappointed that he hurt his knee. Not his fault, obviously, but just kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing to lose anybody on the team, especially given our tiny school status. I think the wide receiver is one of those positions, though, that, like, anybody can be a star, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, you look at, like, the Dallas Cowboys, what's his face? I can't even think. I had it. Laurent Robinson. Yeah. And so in that respect, I'm not so worried. Like, I think we were like dropping quarterbacks, like we did a couple years ago. That would scare me a lot. Definitely a big loss, though. Definitely sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like Derek Thompson going down or anything. So it's not huge. And I definitely think with our offensive line, we're gonna be pounding the ball. So it's not the biggest loss in the world. It's just, you know.
I will say this on NCAA 13. Robert Lancaster, pretty legit receiver.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay, so what else? He's not going to play for the rest of the season. What does that mean for the schedule? Are we going to talk some schedule right now? We're going to go through the schedule?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. You know, a little prediction time here. A little give our voices on record and see how we do.
Okay. Let's. I have it in front of me. Let's do it in chunks of four.
Okay.
And then we'll do, like, the last two there. Okay, so, all right. month of, well, you know, yeah, month of September. LSU, Texas Southern, Kansas State, Troy, and we alternated away home, away home. What are you looking at? What do you think there, dude?
I mean, in that four-game stretch, I think we should go 2-2. Troy's going to be tougher than I am probably estimating. But, you know, I think we lose to LSU. I think we lose to Kansas State. I'm pretty sure those are pretty obvious. Though the Kansas State game could be a little interesting. We played them really well here 2 years ago when they came to Fouts. And, you know, it could be interesting up there. It's you know, we've already faced that. Well, we will have already faced that big environment in LSU. So the Kansas State crowd really shouldn't affect our, you know, players as much because they played in front of, what, 90,000 in Death Valley. And so that game could be a little interesting. I could, you know, I could see that maybe possibly going to UNT, but I just don't think we have enough talent at this point right now. Texas Southern should be an easy win if we lose that game. Throw away the season because, yeah, that should just be an easy win. It's, you know, it's a home opener. It's I believe they're an FCS team, and so it's just, yeah, you know, it's no reason they shouldn't be pumped and jacked for that game and hammer them down. And the Troy game, that's the biggest game on that four block stretch because it's a conference game and you want to win every single conference game. And you know, Troy has had a lot of success recently. They kind of struggled last year and we were able to beat them. And hopefully we can beat them at home again this year. How about you? What do you got?
I think pretty similar. I don't know. I'm not as confident about that Troy game. I think, I don't know, the Sun Belt's always weird to me. You never, like, even though, like, you know, you never really can tell which team's going to be good because I think everybody's so similar that it's just kind of like how, like, the attitude of the team that season is or, like, the coach or, you know, just one and two injuries pretty much determine the whole, like, who's a juggernaut and who's just an also-ran. And so, I don't know, like, I look at all the Sun Belt games as kind of toss-ups. It really depends on how we come out and play against LSU and Texas Southern. And what I mean by that, you know what? I do want to say this here. I wrote something, well, like a couple years ago when we played Alabama. It really does suck that we have to start off these seasons with these money games. And I know this is an old topic and old complaint everybody has. but it does suck because I think everybody's excited about football season. And then we started out by getting stomped by, you know, the defending national champs. On television too, you know, it's for all those like budding North Texas fans. It's you know, it's like well, I got like the smallest little flower, you know, it's kind of growing. I'm trying to give it some life, and then you got like this steamroller just rolling over it, you know, and then so yeah, it just sucks.
I think I agree with that. I mean, you know, obviously we all know how horrible the Todd Dodge era was, but we had that one year that we got to start out at Ball State. And, you know, instead of, like, having to play LSU or Texas or Alabama, it's like, man, hey, we get to start at Ball State. And I know Ball State was actually coming off, like, a 12-0 year the year before or something like that. Something they had a really good year the year before we played them.
Yeah, I think the only thing, though, is they lost a bunch of guys on the team, yeah.
Yeah, they were losing a bunch of guys off that team, and we actually went up there and we beat them. And everybody was shocked. Like, I remember we were watching the game in Clark Park on a huge TV out there by Clark Dorm, and it was pretty awesome because we won and everybody was just pumped. And for the whole week after we won that first game, everybody was talking about UNT football and how they were 1-0. And, you know, they had that momentum and they were starting off the season. And then, of course, we all know what happened after that. They lost the crazy Ohio game in, like, double overtime in the rain and whatever. And that season just kind of went down the toilet after that. But we just had that excitement. We had that excitement to start off the season that we don't ever get in North Texas.
Yeah, Todd Dodge even got on the radio. Like, yeah. You know, they never talked to anybody from UNT on the radio. I watched that down in Louisville at the, I think there was like a big bunch of Go Mean Greeners over there. It was legit. I brought my friend who's like total North Texas apathetic guy, and he was pumped. He was wearing his UNT shirt and whatever. It was awesome. Yeah, and then like we totally wasted that. That Ohio game, that was such a waste. That was so close, and also it was just like it was just a bad game. It was all rainy. It was gross.
It was disappointing. I remember being in the stands, and actually by the time we got to overtime, like it was a fun game to me. I actually kind of enjoyed being out in the rain. I don't know. I was out there for like 5 hours because I got out there like 3 hours before the game started, and I was soaked like head to toe and couldn't feel my feet basically, and it was kind of cold. And but it was a fun game, and the game went back and forth, and it was really cool, and I had never seen us win a game at home, and I really thought like three times that we had that, and then we just kind of couldn't pull it out at the end. We couldn't stop them on a 2-point conversion, and you know, just it kind of irritated me, and then the season went down the crapper.
As most of them did under Todd Dodge.
Yeah.
Okay, so like October, it's we got Houston, LaLa, and MTSU. What do you got there in that little 3-game stretch?
Oh, we got Florida Atlantic too.
Where? No. Oh, yeah, I skipped that. I was in September.
Yeah, that was in
I wanted
September.
Okay, so yeah, like Florida Atlantic, Houston, Louisiana Lafayette, and then Middle Tennessee. What do you got, man?
Yeah.
Three road games and a home game.
We win at Florida Atlantic. They're rebuilding. They're have an entirely new system, offense and defense. I think we go in there and beat them. Houston is a very, very interesting game to me. I think we can pull it out. New coaching staff for them. It's the same offense. They're running the same offense. And they do have a really good quarterback. He was the same guy that actually took over for Case Keenum 2 years ago when Case Keenum went out. And win loss wise, the quarterback didn't do very good for Houston, but he put up impressive yards like Keenum did. But I think that game goes either way. Lafayette is very interesting. It's a home game. We're on national TV. So, yeah, if you're listening to this, make sure you go to that game. We need to fill Apogee to the brink. I will be there if you want to meet me because I'm awesome. Go to that game. Anyways.
Tennessee State. Yeah.
Yeah, in Middle Tennessee, I think we beat them. We hammered them at home last year. I think they're coming off. So I could potentially see us going 3-1 in that stretch.
I think we
lose to Lafayette, unfortunately. But we can go 2-2 in that stretch, or we can go 3-1 with that Houston game kind of floating up in the air. But middle and FAU are guarantees.
All right, so I think a lot of it depends. I think everybody kind of knows we're going to get stomped at LSU, but I think if we can come away with some good positive feelings from that, you know, like get a nice moral victory, even though nobody likes them. Everybody pretends to hate moral victories. Everybody, you know, appreciates them. I think we're going to blow out to Texas Southern, like I said. So that, like, how we come off the Kansas State and Troy games is going to determine how we, like, enter October, obviously. But, like, you know, Florida Atlantic, I think we should get a win there. That Houston game, that is interesting. I was kind of, like, chalking that up as loss. It's going to be in Houston, road game. We're going to get stomped. But, I mean, you know, I didn't really think about that. I hadn't really thought about the schedule yet. Houston's going to be a rebuilding year. It really depends on what they're going to be like. That it's early, but it's, you know, it's 5 games in, 6 games in. I'm going to go to that game. I'm going to try to be on the road, go to Houston. It should be fun.
Try to get there, too.
Yeah, they're playing. Don't they have a new stadium, right? Is that what they're doing?
No, they're getting ready to build one, but they don't have one yet.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I may make it out to Houston for that game. And then maybe Denton 10 days later, that Tuesday night. I don't know. That's going to be tough. But we'll see. It's going to be on TV. I think we get a win there. I think we play well at home. I keep thinking back to that Middle Tennessee game at the end of the season to close out last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so going to Murfreesboro. I think they're going to be kind of wanting some revenge there. I don't know. Like, I haven't really, like, looked at Middle Tennessee this year. I don't think anybody fucking looks at Middle Tennessee and, like, tries to break them down. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I'll go ahead. It's tough because it's a road win. I think we'll play well at home, but we got to get some road wins. I think by then we'll have played 1, 2, 3, 4. This will be our 5th road game at that point. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say we win that one, too. So I'm kind of agreeing with you.
I guess the hard thing with that one is it's possibly a trap game because you got Lafayette before, and then you've got Middle, and then you got Arkansas State right after. So within that 3 weeks, and you're playing 2 out of the top 3 teams in the conference, and then you're kind of overlooking Middle. But you do got to go on the road, and like you said, we've struggled on the road. And Middle's got that revenge factor. They've got everything else. So I could... You know, I said it earlier that it was an easy win, but now I'm kind of rethinking myself there that possibly could be a trap game, and hopefully we just go in there and we take care of business. And
well, does Middle Tennessee play the week before?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking that up.
Because we will have
their schedule right now.
We'll have 10 days off, between Lafayette and Middle, so that should help us a little bit.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think if they're like a little tired, you know. Yeah, they do. They play Mississippi State the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what's Mississippi State looking like this year? All right, so say maybe Mississippi State beats them up a little bit on the 20th, you know? Some SEC beat down, some speed, get them tired. We got a nice 10, 11 days off, and we travel up there and whoop them down in Tennessee. I can totally see that happening, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at November. We got four games in November. Like you said, Arkansas State is a homecoming game. South Alabama, you know, who doesn't exist in NCAA 13. And then we close it out on the road, ULM, and then Western Kentucky.
Those South Alabama fans are pissed, too.
How'd
you not put us in the game? Like,
come on, we're
FBS now, and we're not even in the game. And they were mad.
Yeah, imagine if, like,
I'd be mad.
You know, like, they didn't have Apogee in there. And like, or the, you know, like the new uniforms, we'd be just as pissed. And then on top of that, they just completely just don't even have any, and they don't even have the team. That's messed up. You know what I mean?
So
I totally understand it.
All right. Back to the schedule.
Yeah.
Arkansas State, it's a toss up, I guess. Like you said, we play so well at home. It's hard for me to just say that we're going to lose that game. Because we play well at home. But Arkansas State has a ton of talent. They've got, you know, Gus Malzahn on now. Uh-oh. So it's interesting.
Is that the game of the year? I mean, like, Arkansas State's not necessarily our rival, but they're the best team in the conference. You know, like, they're getting the most hype. They're defending champs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the game of the year?
It depends, too, on where we're at that point. I mean, you know, if we butchered the last 2 weeks in a row and lost to Lafayette and somehow lost to Tennessee, then, you know, we're struggling, and it could make or break our season either way. So, it just, you know, it depends. But I think it is the game of the year. It's they're the most hyped team, like you said. They're kind of our unofficial conference rival, I guess. And it's, yeah, I think it's the game of the year. I could see that. Though the Lafayette game's going to rival that, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's a Tuesday night game. It's our first time being on ESPN. Is it going to be like ESPN proper? Is that what it's going to be on?
ESPN 2?
Yeah. It's the first time since that Ball State game, right? Oh, no. Like, we played. Didn't we play, like, Army? It was Army, right? Like, our. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, our first time playing somebody that we can actually beat. Because we weren't going to beat Clemson or fucking Alabama.
It's our first nationally televised home game in who knows how long.
Yeah.
I mean, first one at Apogee Stadium. I don't know when the last one was at Fouts that was on ESPN or ESPN2.
Yeah, I think there was one against Troy way back when, yeah. Okay. Back to the thing. So, Arkansas State, South Alabama, ULM, Western Kentucky. What happens
South
there?
South Alabama, I think, is a win. I don't know, really, honestly, I don't know enough about them. They've gone something like 70-3 in their last three seasons, but they've been, or not 70-3, I'm sorry. They've gone like, what was it? It's some crazy number. I don't even remember what it was. It was like 30-3 or something. They've won a ton of games, and they've beaten a bunch of people by like, you know, 30 points, 40 points, but they've been playing like Wofford, and, you know.
Yeah, they've
really
been playing
like tiny, tiny schools because they've been playing kind of like an FCS independent schedule. And so to see them. This is going to be their first year in FBS. They play a bunch of big schools early. They play like NC State, and I think they play a couple SEC teams and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see what they're like. I really don't know what to expect out of them. I do expect us to win. We're at home, and they're a new team, so I expect us to win that game.
Yeah, like I've seen them play. They came down to San Antonio and they played UTSA. And what happened? They blocked a kick to win the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They won. They beat UTSA 30-27. And so what does that tell you? That tells you that a brand new FCS team in UTSA gave them a hard time, you know? Albeit it was, you know, in the Alamo Dome, which, you know, I think it's a pretty tough place to play. So yeah, I think that's definitely a win. We're gonna kick their ass, you know, because, you know, for all the problems that UNT has, we're not an FCS team, and we will whoop some ass, I think.
Yeah.
That Arkansas State game, I'm excited about that one. For me, that's game of the year just because I know Gus Malzahn is legit. And I think, like Arkansas State's coming off an incredible season. That's the game of the year for me. I think that's going to tell us a lot about ourselves. Like playing LSU is going to, we're overmatched physically. Going to Kansas State, it's a tough environment. We're going to learn things from there. I think the Houston game, we're going to learn some stuff there. But like you said, they're in transition. I think Arkansas State's a good team. They're getting a good coach, and they're kind of continuing on. I think it's more of a this is what a good team in this level of, in the Sun Belt and maybe even like Conference USA is going to be like. And it's a good good measuring stick, I think. ULM, Western Kentucky. Again, those are Sun Belt games. Those are on the road. You never know what the hell is going to happen on the road over there.
Yeah.
Is that Western Kentucky game going to be broadcast? I remember hearing something about that. I don't know why it might be.
I don't. I'm not 100% sure. I would hope so. It could definitely be an important game. It could definitely be a game that could decide bowl eligibility for both teams. I mean, at that point, if I'm looking at the schedule, I think the way I've predicted it, if I think we win seven games, then we already have our seven wins before that Western game. I actually have it as a loss in my book. Just because I'm not, I still have questions about this team on the road, and but that could change because I mean it, like you said, it depends on how we do, at Florida Atlantic, at Houston, at Middle, at Kansas State. I mean that this team could be very road tested by then and play really well. So you never
Well,
know. But
yeah,
I think we beat Monroe and I think we lose to Western. That's what I have it as.
I think it's about right. So what does that put? What is your record? What did you say that it's gonna be? You had 2-2 going to start. Florida Atlantic, you said that was a win. You said them going 3-1, so that's 7-3. No, yeah, that's 5-3. And then
I had a loss to Arkansas State, so that's 5-4. And then wins over South and ULM, so that's 7-4, and then losing to Western. So I am at 7-5, but it could go anywhere. They could be 4-8. They could be 7-5. I have no clue.
I would
That's my guess.
say 7-5, and what would you have them in conference? I can't even think.
Let's see.
Win, loss. This is riveting radio. Trying to
Yeah.
tally up here, what you call it. Seven
I
and
should
five
have
wouldn't
wrote
be
it down.
bad. That would not be a terrible record. I would be happy with 7-5.
I think I had them 5-3 in conference. Well, did South Alabama count as a conference game? It does, right?
I don't think
I
it
believe it,
does.
because it has a little star next to it on the
Well, it's a
schedule.
conference game, but I don't know. Are they a full member this year? I can't remember.
I think they are, but they're not allowed to, like,
They're not
they
allowed
can't
to
go to the
win?
postseason.
Okay.
Yeah,
So they
so
count, but they count for the for like
as a
good but
conference
not
game, I
bad.
believe. Yeah, they count on the record.
They could win, they could go like 8-0 and then, it didn't even matter. That's messed up. That's messed up. But
But
yeah,
so
okay. So
I had
I
them
think
five and
five and
three.
three would what was the record last year? Let's see.
4-4 in conference.
Okay, so we have it here. Here are the conference standings. We have Arkansas State finished 8-0, Western Kentucky finished 7-1, Louisiana Lafayette 6-2, FIU 5-3. We finished 4-4. So a 5-3 conference record would put us if we're facing like last year's standings, fourth in the conference. That's not terrible considering that we have like no secondary. And that we know, like one of our linebackers decided that he didn't want to be there anymore. And yeah, I can definitely see that. I think FIU is going to be good. I'm thinking Arkansas State's going to be good. Western Kentucky is on the rise, but that might have been a fluke year. Losing in Lafayette, whatever. So yeah, I think that's I think it's a decent finish. I mean, it would put us one game in conference better than we were last year, which is an improvement, and I'll take any. And all improvements, no matter how
Yeah,
small that they are.
and I agree with that. I think anything that shows positive movement going into Conference USA is going to be a good thing. I think next year is our breakout year. When we go into Conference USA, Coach McCarney's third year, I think that's when we really see North Texas start doing some good things. But 7-5 would be awesome. That would be bowl eligible for the first time since 04, and I would love that. But you remember, you gotta remember, bowl eligible doesn't always put you in there. Western finished second in the conference last year, and Lafayette went to a bowl and they didn't. So, you know,
Yeah.
that just happens sometimes. And I think FIU went to a bowl too. So even though Western finished ahead of both of them in conference, they didn't get to go to a bowl.
Yeah, first things first is that you got to win, and then you let everything happen there. I'd still take Western's season last year, even though they didn't go to a bowl game. You got to build up your reputation, and that's part of the game. That's why we're going to Conference USA. We want to be able to win, get 6, 7 wins, and get to a bowl game.
Definitely.
Okay, yeah, by the way, we finished 4-2 at home last year, in case you at home didn't know. And 1-5 on the road.
Yeah, got to improve that this year, especially with 7 road games.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's the other thing, looking at the schedule. This, you can tell that we are not a powerhouse with our paltry 5 home games. It's so terrible. It's like a slap in the face, man, looking at that. So I hate looking at it.
It'll get better once we're in CUSA.
Yeah, I want to be like Alabama, where they play like one away game.
Dude, I live here in Arkansas, and I was looking at one of their schedules the other day. Originally, before A&M got accepted into the SEC, they were going to play that game in Dallas, so it was going to
Yeah.
be like a neutral site game. So they were going to have 7 home games, and then 1 neutral site game, and then like 4 road games. I was like, how does that happen? How do you basically get 8 games that you don't have to be on the road for? Like eight
It's
out of 12. That's
ridiculous,
ridiculous.
man. Yeah. See, like if we have like a 75 rate, that should count like double, man. We should count double. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's football schedule talk. Brett Vito's writing a whole bunch of stuff about like breaking down each position. You can tell he had like that's like a mandate. Like, dude, stretch this out, man. I know you wanted to write about like the UNT preview, but nothing else is going on. So like, write about like one dude on the 100-man roster every day leading up to football, which isn't bad. It's a daily fix, even though it's a slow trickle. Hey, Tony
Here.
Mitchell's dunking on people during the summer. Did you see that video I linked to earlier today?
I did see that video. Tony Mitchell is an absolute freak of all freakness, and
Yeah, he's
it
going
makes me happy.
has went quite a 360, but he's going through the legs, 360. I'll call it a 360. Reverse dunk. That's sweet, man.
I get a windmill thing going on
Yeah,
too
just like
at
throwing
one
hoops.
point.
Like one of the dudes got dunked on. He just kind of like chuckling. He's like, "Yeah, I couldn't do nothing about that."
And it's not like he's just like hooping in Dallas with like a bunch of scrubs. These are like other guys that came out with him in high school at the same time that were also like 4 and 5 star recruits. Like, pretty sure I've seen one of those guys that plays at Oklahoma State that he's like dunking all over and just like craziness. I mean, he's out there with a bunch of just a bunch of players and just dominating everybody.
Well, yeah, and then like also he went to two camps. He went to the Amari camp. He went to the LeBron James camp. And by all accounts, he did well at both of them, and it was a standout at both. And I think it's good. Like, he went to big man camp basically, and then he goes to a LeBron camp. I don't know what they teach him there, but it's really mostly a chance to kind of like play with other really good dudes, and like that I think that sharpens you up. Like I think we mentioned this before. The Sun Belt Conference is not going to really get you ready for the NBA. You know what I mean? It's. I'm not knocking like it is college basketball, and if any one of those dudes came to like play you on your basketball court that's attached to your garage, you'd be murdered every day, every game. But that's not going to prepare you for the NBA. You know what I mean? And I think going to these camps, going to play during the summer runs, that's going to sharpen the skills. And I mean, really. I wish the best for Tony Mitchell throughout his career, his NBA career and stuff. But I just kind of want him to be really good for this upcoming Sun Belt season. This run in which I think we're going to reach a top 25 team. I'm so geeked for the basketball season.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I like football and I could talk football, but I'm so ready for basketball. Like, this, it's just crazy, and I'm hoping it just goes as awesome as we do. I have this like lingering thought in my head that like something would happen or something would like suck, and then I would think about the fact that I might be disappointed for like 4 months. But I think it's gonna be awesome. I'm not like trying to be negative or anything. I think it's gonna be an awesome team. Awesome on paper, and I kind of wanted to talk about an awesome move that our coach did, and that was not signing John Odo. because or actually releasing John Odo, the guy could not qualify. And I think Benford might have known that in the back of his mind, which is why he released him from his letter of intent, picked up a good player in Coleman, and let him go. So Odo is chilling out in community college now. Or not community college, I'm sorry. Junior college.
If you weren't following all the drama and stuff, you know, like this is the first time you're picking up the podcast. Mm-hmm. John Odo was originally going to sign with UNT, but when Johnny Jones left to go to LSU, traitor! No, he was not a traitor. Mm-hmm. He started wavering. He kind of wanted to follow him over there, and so we let him go. We let him out of his commitment for a number of reasons, but that being probably the biggest one.
Huh.
And so now he can't qualify. So like Tony says, good move on our part. Yay! Give ourselves a hand clap. Hand clap.
Hey, and hand clap to you for explaining to everybody what I was talking about. Because if they've never listened to us before, they're like, "What the hell is he talking about?
Who's that?"
So, good move.
You know what? I do want. There was another thing I want to throw out there. Have you ever seen any other sport play? Like, I know you've been to basketball games, you've been to football games. Have you seen any other team play? Like, did you go see volleyball, softball, maybe? Yeah. You do?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I lived in Victory Hall. I was like an RA over there.
So you're just like right there, yeah.
I was right next to the soccer and the softball and the volleyball. So I used to go to all the games. Well, not all of them, but I'd go to all the ones I could go to.
Sweet.
Plus, the girls were kind of hot.
So. well, like, yeah, I didn't make a whole lot of them. I think I went to women's basketball games, like two or three of them. But I was busy. I was doing things. And I often worked in the evening, Saturdays and stuff. But I did make it out last year to a Baylor versus UNT women's soccer game. And, it left my wife with like a permanent tan. It was just kind of weird. Cause like her shirt was like sitting funny on her. And so she like had that tan for like a good long while. And the other thing I remember from that was like some dude from Baylor. They were just like, "Go BU!" That was like his whole cheer, and like it never got more enthusiastic than that. Like it was just "Go BU!" Just the whole time.
You ever see somebody do like the bear claw thing that they have? It's like "caw" or something. I don't know. It's well, they don't "caw." We "caw," but it's like, you know, they have the bear claw out there, and it's supposed to be like that open-handed.
Yeah.
Thing, I don't know it. This is radio, so you can't see what I'm doing. But anyways, they've got that. Well, a lot of times people, if they want to make fun of Baylor, they'll do like the gay hand, like the limp wrist, the claw, and be like "sick 'em bear," or something like that, which is supposed to be like, you know, "sick 'em bear" is supposed to be their saying. And
"sick 'em bear." So, do you tell a bear to "sick 'em"? Is that what you do?
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have a bear and like "sick 'em bear"? No, I don't think you do that. I think
it's not a dog, right?
I don't think you talk to the bear. You just kind of let the bear do what he's gonna do. Maybe get out of his way.
You don't keep a bear as a pet, do you? Because like you, yeah, you own a dog, so the dog's your pet. You can tell them to sick them anytime they want.
What do you tell a bear to do? Do you tell, like, I guess, like if you have them in a circus, to like ride the ball or whatever, right? They stand in the ball, right, and wear the hat. That's what bears do.
Oh, like in the circus?
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah, that's the only time I've seen anybody communicating with a bear, other than like, "Oh shit, get out the way." They're like,
yeah, there's not many.
Wait.
There's not many human interactions with bear unless
like silent producer over there says that bears wear tutus. That's what you tell them to do. So I guess you're just like, "Wear the tutu." I'm gonna do that. We play Baylor September 7th in Denton. Throw that out there, and everybody's wondering why you said that. Tell them Adam said it, and he said, "Bear, you don't tell bears to sick anything. You tell them to wear their tutu and get out there because everybody's waiting." You know.
Can we make that like green tutu day at North Texas? That'd be awesome.
Do it. Wear a green tutu out there. And everybody, like, again, if everybody says, "Why are you wearing a green tutu? What is that?" You're like, "We're playing Baylor, honoring our guests because they wear tutus in the circus. That's what bears do. I learned that on the Mean Green Nation podcast. Shut up and leave me alone." Yeah. And then find that guy that says that. "Go be you. Go be you." And then tell him to, you know, change that up or something. So I'm looking at the UNT women's soccer schedule here. They don't come near me. Me is in San Antonio. Me equals Adam. Closest one is Sam Houston State, August 24th. Maybe I'll make it out there. It's Friday, August 24th, Huntsville, 7 p.m. Jeez, I'm probably not making that one. But yeah, I encourage you to go out and see some women's soccer.
Yeah.
Support
Oh, go ahead.
support the other teams there. I'm gonna see if I can't get some women's soccer players on the podcast or something. See what I do.
I enjoy the women's soccer team quite a bit. They are like 15 straight years now with like awesome winning records and
Yeah. Yeah.
greatness.
You can tell that we're huge fans with our like pulling out of our ass stats. Yeah, they're like really good, I think, or something.
I know they're really good. I don't know the exact stats, but I know that they've won a bunch of conference championships. I know that they've been to the NCAA tournament like three or four times in the last 10 years, and I do know that they are pretty much unbeatable at home. But they are a very good team. They're very fun to watch. The last 2 years in a row, we've played SMU, and we played them there 2 years or we played them at home 2 years ago, and we broke the all-time soccer attendance record. We had like 8,000 show up for that game, which was
Sweet.
phenomenal for a soccer game. We can't even get that much for basketball. Well, until this year, I think we'll get that much for some of the games this year. But and then we played SMU last year, I think, at their place,
Well,
and
we play TCU this year,
yeah,
Sunday,
so that
September 16th. It's a Sunday
should be
game,
another
1 p.m.
really good
Go see that
atmosphere.
one. Also, go see a couple of people teams on the schedule: Houston, Baylor, TCU. You might like those. Hey, for you need to go see these two games: Friday, October 12th in Jonesboro, play Arkansas State, and then Sunday, October 14th, they play Arkansas Little Rock in Little Rock. So,
Jonesboro is 6 hours away on the other
yeah.
side of the state, and Little Rock's like four. And hopefully, I'll be in Dallas, living in Dallas again by October.
I don't want to hear your excuses, man. You drive, okay? Maybe you delay your move. You need to
Actually,
go support the team. What's that?
the Oral Roberts game in Tulsa is a closer drive to me than either of those Arkansas games,
Really?
and the Springfield, Missouri game against Missouri State is closer. Those
Yeah.
are both 2.5 hour drives, so
I gotta
maybe.
admit, anytime I've driven through Arkansas, I've been asleep. So I don't know how long it takes. I really don't even know how big it is. I see it on the map, but my eyes deceive me, probably. I don't know.
I live on the Missouri border. It takes 5 hours to get from here to the Texas border.
I
So
was not
it's a
a
decent
geography
sized state.
major. I don't know what that means.
Border to border is, where the states start. And, it takes 5 hours to drive it. So,
Again, I'm not understanding what
yeah.
you're telling me. Okay, so yeah, support Mean Green Soccer. We're gonna like again. I'm gonna try to expand the coverage of Mean Green Nation outside of basketball and football. Like maybe to women's basketball and maybe to some women's soccer, and maybe eventually some men's baseball. Because apparently we're getting that. There's rumors. It's like in Game of Thrones when people are like whispering about the White Walkers, or like some people are like whispering like, oh, I heard some rumors of the baseball team in North Texas.
And if you read it on the internet, it must be true. So,
Yeah,
of
everything's true on the
course.
internet.
Yes, nobody lies.
Okay, so what else we got to talk about?
Support
Or is that it? Is that it? Are we?
volleyball too. Volleyball's gotten better. They
Yeah.
fired their coach like a couple years ago, and their new coach has been really good, and they've gotten better and better every year. So, go watch them too if you're around.
Yeah, so basically go to meangreensports.com, find what's playing that day, and go to it. Support the hell out of it. Okay, so what else we got on the agenda, or is that it?
Don't know. It's the off season. I don't know how much more we got here.
What do you do in
Oh,
the off
actually.
season? What's up? Go ahead.
I did think of one thing real quick. There's that kid, TJ Taylor, the basketball player, that
Oh, the
just left
Marquette guy?
Marquette. Yeah. There's some rumor, some speculation that maybe UNT's in play for him. His girlfriend goes to TWU, and he's from the area. So that could be a nice little get if they want to put him in. But he would have to like walk on or take an academic scholarship for this year because we don't have any spots open left. But
I think the
or
official way that he
not
has to do
academic.
it, yeah, he has to like walk by, drop his pen, and like, oh, what's going on here? And then like somebody has to bump into him, like, oh, I'm just going to play basketball. And he's like, basketball, what is that? And then he has to like accidentally walk into the gym and accidentally fill out a form that he wants to play the game.
Oh my God, how did I accidentally end up in this mean green practice
Yeah,
jersey?
that's yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
This is not the rec center. This right here. This is not it. Okay. So yeah, that's basically what needs to happen. Hopefully it does. Apparently the guy's good. You know, needless to say, we want good guys on the team. Because, like, pretty much after, like, this season, you know, like, yeah, we have, like, nobody. It's like, it's like, you know, the Jordan Williams and Chris Jones, and that's it.
Yeah. And Coleman and Hardwick.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, but basically the roster just, like, there's, like, nobody there. So,
yeah.
But, again, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about this year when we win the NCAA tournament.
Okay. National champs, baby.
That would be so fucking sweet, dude. It's the summertime, so I allow myself to think irrationally and, you know, like, to dream a little bit. I go out on the patio, you know, drink some beer, and put on my green-colored glasses, and I think, wouldn't it be awesome to, like, have placed money on UNT when they play at LSU, and they beat LSU in Death Valley, like, 42-0? That's going to be so sweet.
Yeah. Put, like, a $15 bet and make, like, $1,000 off of it.
Yeah. And then, like, and it's going to be awesome when, like, UNT runs the table and then Tony Mitchell dunks on everybody in the national championship game. That's going to be so sweet.
I really wish Anthony Davis would have stayed in college for one more year so Tony Mitchell could have just dunked on the unibrow.
Yeah. And then shave it off. Like, in, like, yeah. It'll be like a WWE thing, and he shaves his eyebrow off in the middle of the court.
If I beat you, I get to shave your unibrow off. And then he beats him and shaves his unibrow off and then hits him with a steel chair just for fun.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet. Yeah, the WWE style.
The shave my eyebrow match.
Today is the 1,000th day of Monday Night Raw, by the way. Kind of interesting fact, just throwing it out there. I used to be a big wrestling fan. I'm not really anymore.
When did you give up wrestling fandom?
I don't know. I was actually a big WCW fan back in the day. Like, I was old school, like WCW. And then, you know, they got bought out by WWE. And then I kind of watched it for a little bit. And I was like, wow, wrestling kind of sucks now because there's only one big promotion instead of two. And they have no competition. So then I just kind of stopped watching.
Honestly, for me, wrestling stopped in like 96. And that was it. And like I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it up.
Well, Stone Cold's a UNT alum for...
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was here like two semesters, and then he found out, hey, I'm really better at wrestling than I am at school and football. So he left.
Yeah, hopefully... One thing I want to happen is that when like UNT becomes like relevant in sports, when Tony Mitchell wins, you know, like the Shave My Eyebrow match this coming March... that all these, like, people that don't claim UNT, like, there's a local radio host, Mike Taylor, who used to be in Dallas on ESPN, the 103.3. Like, he graduated from UNT, but he, like, doesn't claim them. He, like, claims TCU. He's like, oh, but I grew up near in Fort Worth, so I'm, like, the Frogs fan, so I'm like, shut up, dude. You know? UNT. Claim it. Own it.
Yeah.
Own it. Yeah, so hopefully there are more people, you know, get their green T-shirts out and their green stuff. What's that in the background?
Oh, my phone. Okay. What? Sorry. I'm not professional, and I didn't put my phone on silence.
Okay, then. So I think that about wraps it up. We hit all or most topics, I think. You out there that's listening still in this 43rd minute of the podcast, don't forget to follow Mean Green Nation on Twitter. Follow Tony. Tony, where are you at on Twitter?
I'm at BSTN SportsFan3. And I might make a new Twitter eventually someday because I just used that eventually when I was first jumping on. But I might make one that's like UNT centric and a little bit easier to figure out.
Yeah, like my oldest email address is something like that. It's like, you know, future MVP something, and that, so like, yeah, you can tell people make the stupidest things when they first jump on things. That was like my first email address ever. What was I gonna say? That's Twitter. Also, this podcast, you can subscribe to it in iTunes, if you don't have to just listen to it on the page. What else? There's gonna be more stuff coming on MeGreenNation.com, obviously. No message board anymore. Like, I deleted that. I forgot that was there. I moved that over to the Coco Chronicles one. And if, for some reason, like, you like UTSA football and sports, me and a couple other guys do that one, too. It's CocoChronicles.com. What else do I do? Oh, DerangedPenguin.com. Yeah, do that one. That one's the fun one. That one's a fun podcast.
Hey, we're fun.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like, yeah, but it's like that last 10 minutes of us talking just stuff,
I
that's
know,
like
I'm
an
just kidding.
hour and a half. It's an hour and a half. Unless, see, that's the thing, is that, like, for whatever reason, some people don't like sports. Isn't that stupid? And yeah, like, so that one's like sports free mostly.
You don't like sports, you're dumb. No, I'm just kidding.
You
Just kidding. Don't
say you're dumb.
hate on me. I'm just kidding. I understand.
Oh yeah, sorry. So I got a text message. I was doing a Tony right there. Yeah, are we done? Is that it? Thanks for listening
I
to the Mean
think.
Green Nation podcast. For Tony, co-host Tony, I'm Adam. See you next time we do it. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it won't. We'll see. You'll find out. Thanks.
All
Bye.
right, later.